Recording in progress.
So tonight we're going to actually begin to explore, hopefully, some of the detail involved in Shemitah. First, again, we'll overview a bit of what we said in the past. We mentioned there are three sets of psukim, the Torah that relate to Shemitah. One is in Mishpatim. The second is, we mentioned also, in Sefer Shmos, towards the end, and then there's in Vayikra Bahar, which is probably the major parsha that you have in front of you. All three are found here on the top of this page. So let's begin by noting the four Isurim min HaTorah. The Torah actually has itemized four separate Isurim, and they're found in the Sukkim in Parshas Bahar. Sadducha lo Sidra, the first Isur is Riyah. Riyah refers to sowing, seeding, and the like. Kar mechalo sizmor. You should not, in the vineyard, you should not prune the vineyard. Pruning generally, which of course is also us on Shabbos, essentially when you're cutting off excess branches in order to enhance the growth of the item. You want the ilan to be matzmeach, you want it to grow. That's an isur called zimur. The first isur is riyah. That's classic. Of course, that's the first melacha of the Lama says Malachas on Shabbos. So we have these two Isurim, they're both Torah prohibitions. The Torah goes on to say, Eis fiyach kitzircha lo siktzar. Kitzircha generally refers to harvesting. The term svichim, we'll be discussing in Etz Hashem. These are things that grow on their own in the course of the Shemitah year. So the Torah says, lo siktzar. There's an Isur, a prohibition against harvesting. And in the Nizirecha lo Sitzor, Isur of Gitzira. These are two separate Isurim that the Torah has articulated. Again, two Isurim min HaTorah. Generally speaking, Gitzira refers to Eitzim, refers to trees. And the language of Gitzira is primarily used with reference to Chita, the wheat, and the like. Gitziras Atua. So we have here four Isurim d'Oraisa that the Torah discusses. The Torah continues in that pasuk, Vayisa Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Lo'ochla. And here, this particular term is very significant in Hilchos Shemitah. Chazal derived from this word, Lo'ochla. The primary function of Shemitah is for the purpose of Achila. So Chazal learned out, Lo'ochla v'lo b'schora. So Gemara and Sukkah as well. Lo'ochla v'lo b'schora means that essentially perish riyas are to be consumed, are to be eaten, and are not to be used in any commercial kind of way. We're not supposed to traffic with perishvias. We're not supposed to engage in mekach memkar with perishvias. La'achla v'lo l'schara. There are many other derivations that Chazal derived from this language of la'achla, which we'll get to. And what's fascinating is that if we have all these isurim, namely zriyah, not to seed, not to sow, zimur, not to prune, not to harvest, not to engage in neither tzira or betzira. So, of course, then the obvious question is, so what does one eat in the course of shvis? If one is not allowed to detach items from the tree, from the ground, an isur of tzira and betzira, so then how is one supposed to eat? So, of course, the answer Chazal tell us is also the subject of a lot of discussion, which we're also going to get to in Yitz Hashem, that the isur of tzira and the isur of betzira is only if it's done kederach hakotzer or kederach habotzer. If you do it normally, the way the items are detached from the ground, primarily today through machinery, through combines, all types of sophisticated machinery is utilized for that purpose. That is what not permitted. That's usur. during the Shemitah. That's Asim and Atorah. These four Isurim Daraisa. However, if one does it Shalokidarach HaKotzrim, in an unusual kind of way, means it's not the same in terms of its efficaciousness, doesn't have the same effectiveness the way we're going to be discussing how it's going to be done, that's permissible. Because you're allowed to, obviously, consume the fruit. On the contrary, we'll see that, according to some, understand the Ramban, Yechumash is saying, it's a mitzvah to eat peroshis. That itself we'll be discussing separately much later. But there are those who contend that that's what the Ramban's position is. A mitzvah asay to eat peroshis. Whether that's true or not is the subject of a massive machlokes among many poskim. But there are those who know that and do contend that. But what one cannot do is, number one, schora, business, peroshis. Number two, la'achla v'lo lehefset. You cannot do anything which will cause, in effect, a diminution of the particular item. If this item is used for a specific purpose and you would like to utilize it for another purpose, I'll give you an example. To go ahead and take a lemon, and I decided instead of using the lemon for whatever purposes lemons I use, namely, let's say, lemon juice or in your rice, you want to put some lemon, you want to squeeze some lemon into your rice and the like, I want to use lemon to clean my faucet or to clean my sink. That would be awesome. La'achla v'lo lehefset. You're not allowed to do that in the Shemitah year, or maybe you have some idea about using lemon as a kishut, as a kind of item which will be used as a decorative item that is not permissible, because that's la'achla v'lo lehefset. Or for that matter, that which many people are knowing, namely they take the wine of Abdullah and they go ahead and with their fingers and they place the wine in their eyes, that's mentioned Shukalach. That's a, let's call it a school of a bracha and the like. That cannot be done in the Shemitah year. That's part of la'achla v'lo lehefset. You're not allowed to do anything which will undo the usage, the proper, normal usage of perish shvias. So I just gave you a number of examples. Perhaps we'll give one or two more. Let's say even to take a lemon and use it as a kishut in the sukkah. You want to decorate the sukkah, nice sukkah. It's certainly a very important halacha. That cannot be done in the course of the Shemitah year. So here I've given you a number of situations where Chazal take this word la'achla and derive from it some very significant areas of halacha. La'achla below the schora, not to use for the business. La'achla below the hesed, you can't go and do anything which will be a diminution of the norm, the way this item is normally used under regular circumstances. Now there is a distinction that has to be mentioned as well between peros and yirokos, between fruit and vegetables. When it comes to peros, so the problem with peros that have Gush HaShvias will not begin now right after Rosh Hashanah, because most of the fruit, if not all of the fruit, will come from 60 of produce, and that will last, hopefully, in Hashem, for many, many months. However, with reference to yirokos, there is a problem, because the Gush HaShvias of yirokos is established by Lakita. Lakita means the moment you detach the yard from the ground, and that will be done at the very beginning of the Shemitah year, because yirokos, the first day of Tishrei, meaning Rosh Hashanah, the kriyas of yirokos, in terms of it being Gush HaShvias, is established by Lakita. It's a very famous sugya. The Gemara has the beginning of Kedushin. The Gemara discusses there the question of Esrog. What is an Esrog likened to? Is it a pre? Is it considered to be an Elon? Or is it likened to a Yerek? Which means that what exactly is Kovea regarding the Gush HaShvias? Is it Kovea Lakita, the moment you pluck it? And again, this year, Esrogin will not be a problem. The Esrogin for this coming Sukkot is already taken off the tree several months ago. They will have no Gush HaShvias. The problem will be the following year. That's also Mishnah in Sukkah. If you recall that the Mishnah points out that in the eighth year, so then the Esrogin, in effect, you cannot pay for the Esrogin. What you do is you pay for the Lulav and Bahavla, I discussed it in one of the Yom Shirim on Friday morning. Bahavla, you will have in effect the Esrog will be included in the price of the lulav. We will raise the ante, raise the price of the lulav, and the Esrog is included and subsumed under that. But you cannot, the Esrog has Kedush HaShvias, and you cannot give money for something that has Kedush HaShvias. That's a separate discussion also we're going to have. So there's a fundamental distinction between Yirokos and Peros. Peros will be a problem, not in the beginning of Shemitah, because we have a lot of 6-year peros, while Yerukas could very well be a problem at the very beginning of Shemitah. So these are some halachas that are relevant to this. And of course, as I mentioned, this is relevant to a number of the solutions that we spoke about actually in the past, namely, whichever solution a person is going to use. Obviously, we're going to use Osa Bezdin. That would be a major solution. That is a Tesekta mentioned by the Ramban Chumash and the Poskim, the Chazanish, and Rav Kook, and many others bring this Tesekta of Osa Bezdin. Bezdin become, in effect, the kind of Shaliach of the farmer. The farmer, his field is Hefker. But Bezdin becomes the Shaliach of the farmer to work the field and you pay them for the labor. And in terms of the Osa Bezdin, that's what we're going to unquestionably derive enormous benefit from the Otsa Bezdin and the other solutions, as you mentioned, hydroponics, Matzav and Attack, and the, beside that, 60 of produce, and a few other solutions along the way. I just want to mention, because someone told me today, and this is something that is commonly heard. It is true there are many halachas that taste the rice and sukkah that are relevant to Shemitah. Many, many halachas, and some of them are very complex and require enormous amount of learning, careful study, but often people see Shemitah, and this is what I spoke to a group of people on Shabbos about. Often people see Shemitah as an awl, as a yoke around their neck. And that's really a misconception, and that is even to my mind, something which is absolutely untenable, unconscionable. Basically, they ask, how can we possibly patter ourselves from this situation, this phenomenon, which occurs every 7 years? That kind of perspective is inappropriate and incorrect. And the one should, on the contrary, as I said already a number of times, look forward to the Shemitah year with tremendous sense of simcha, that we have the opportunity to, Baruch Hashem, fulfill Pesukim in Chumash that you don't have, neither in the Chutz Aretz, in the U.S., nor in South Africa, nor anywhere outside Eretz Yisrael. And it's a golden, wonderful opportunity not to learn the Sukkot of Shemitah, but also to observe it to the extent that we can. Where you all are aware of, those who have been here, I think both of you have been here, in Pesach Shemitah. So therefore, you know there's something called, some people use the term Pach Shemitah, items that are, I spoke about in the Shira Yet to women, namely Sheriot, things that are left over. I don't subscribe to that term, but we call the whatever vehicle, whatever vessel you're going to use, call it Dusha Shrias. That's what you should call it, as opposed to calling it the term Pach. So it does not have a positive kind of connotation. One should not use that terminology. One should use Pach refers to Pach Zedel, the Hulu Bukhulu. And that's inappropriate. Pach Shem is Beseder, but Pach Shri is, because it's true, there's a Pach Shem of Hanukkah. That's a specific term used by Chazal. This term is not found in Chazal. Pach Shmita, it's not found anywhere. And the better terminology would be Kedusha Shriyas in order that to give it the proper credibility and the proper Kedusha that one should ascribe to it. I just, it's a Derech Agav editorial comment, if you don't mind along the way. Now, we mentioned also that the second pasuk found here on top of this page, Vashviz Tishvatena, Unitashta. We stress that word, notice it's blackened over here. Unitashta refers to Hefker. This notion of the Tisha of Hefker. And exactly what the Talith of Hefker is, whether it's an active, proactive kind of Hefker or Hefker Mamela, we will be discussing in Yitz Hashem. Continuing, the pasuk says, the last pasuk, Shesh Hashem and Tavod, Vayamashi Tishvos, the Chomish Makotze Tishvos. There's a typo here, as you can see on the shin each time. So the last three words, the Chomish Makotze Tishvos, and the Chogos of Akiva Mishmah that we've spoken about in the past in the Mishnah Shvias, well, this refers to Shabbos under the front of Shemitah. Very famous Machlokes Tanoim, that's very, very significant. Furthermore, one more item to be mentioned in the first set of psukim, which is in Bahar, the end of the pasuk, as I spoke about it. There's a din of biur of perashris. It's a very important halacha, beis yud ayin vav resh. And the idea is that peras are shmita. There's a shlav where each of the different fruits are going to become asur. And the Gemara said at the moment it's no longer available in the field to animals. Then you have to get rid of it from your house as well. That's called the din of biur. And there we have charts, if you remember, I don't know if you recall, charts of different fruits, when they are kola, the behemtecha, min asada, that's when you have to, at that point, get it out of the house. And so this is something which is also a very significant halacha. So most of the dinim are derived from these tukim, but this was just a general overview. There's a question that I noted over here. This is a fascinating issue. To me, it continues to be fascinating. I didn't discuss it yet. So we have it here in the second section. Ha'im Isur Shvius Hu Ala Adam or Ala Haaretz? The Isur Mashvius, is it Chal on the person? Or is it Din in the Karka? Is it a Din in the real estate of Eretz Yisrael? Which means, or to put it in more Lomdashim terminology, is it Isur Chetzer or Isur Gaper? That's the question. Does it go on the person? Or does it go on the Chetzer, the Karka of Eretz Yisrael? So it seems Pashit that there are, if you look at the Pesukim we just read, there are Isurim on the Gabra. The Torah said, Sodechol Osizra, Karmechol Osizmar, Tziach Kitzirchol Osizor, Inve Dizirachol Osizor. That's pretty clear. That goes on the Gabra. That goes on the person, unquestionably. But at the same time, the question is, are there Isurim on the ground? That the ground should not be at all, one should not work the ground, it hurts as well. One should not till, and all the other assorted malachas that one is not allowed to do in the course of the Shemitah year. So, in effect, if one is supposed to leave the ground fallow, as it were, and not work the soil, so it would seem, that also seems to be, and that language, as we said, is found in the Pasuk in Bahar. The Shavsa Ha'aretz, Shavos Hashem, the Torah tells you that the land itself has to rest. So there seem to be both elements that seem to be relevant in this particular. So just to show you a fascinating Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra writes over here, the Shavsa Ha'aretz, Shavos Hashem, Mitzvah al Yisraeli, Shelo Yazov Ger, Lizro Ashnas HaShabbos, Kasher Lo Nazven, O Lassos Malachim HaShabbos, Kihu Bishuseinu. What a striking statement that Ibn Ezra here makes. He says, you're not allowed to give whom? Shelo Yazov Ger. Who is he referring to when he mentions a Ger? The answer is a Goy. He's referring to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to let a Goy work your field during the course of the Shemitah year. Why? Because the assumption is just like you can't permit a guy to do malach with you on Shabbos, so too you can't permit a guy to do malach with you on Shemitah. What is the basis for this? The answer is because there's an Isur on the Karka. And even as it comments on this pasuk, the Shavsa Ha'aretz, Shavos Hashem, it goes on the ground. And therefore the ground cannot be worked in any fashion, even through the agency of a non-Jew. Even though he uses the term ger, it's referring to a god. And Shub Sabek, and I don't know if you're familiar, this is that's a very fascinating vignette. Along the way, there's a famous Igeres HaShabbos. There's a letter that was written by the Ibn Ezra, and he wrote it to one of the Rishonim. Doesn't mention the Rishon, but it was written to the Rashbam. The Rashbam has a fascinating Te'orah. In the beginning of Bereshis, when the Torah introduces the idea of Shabbos, so the Rashbam understood from Psukim. He read the Psukim. Rashbam, as you know, is very into Pshat, Pshuto Shel Mikra. He is uncanny for his insistence on Pshat. I don't know if he disagrees with his grandfather, because his grandfather Rashi was into Drash, and he's very into Pshat. So in the Psukim, the beginning of Bereshis, I can't show you that right now, but if you look the Rashbam, and I'll tell you something fascinating, more fascinating. Because of this Rashbam, for many, many years, the Rashbam was not published till the middle of Bereshis. They took out the Rashbam for the beginning of Bereshis because of the commentary he has in Parshas Bereshis related to Shabbos. Rashbam reads the Psukim in the following way, that when the Shabbos begin, on Shabbos morning, not Friday night. I can't discuss the whole thing with you. You have to see
that. That's what happens on the Torah.
No, the Rashbam is saying Pshat in Psukim that are in Bereshis, which describe Shabbos. Those are very significant Psukim. We say they're on Friday night. It's not just on Madin, I have discussed this matter. I said Shurim on this matter a number of times. Anyway, I also learned the Igeres HaShabbos with Talmidim many, many years ago. And he doesn't say that.
I remember 20 years ago, at Onik Shabbos, where Benel Shabbos used that as a sniff of hakel for someone who wanted
but
to...
But he's saying it only as trap. He's not saying it ba'alocha. But there are those who obviously...
Right, so that's assume, together with their tshuva. That's the one
he... I'm telling you... I'm just telling you, the Igeres HaShabbos, the Ibn Ezra, went to town against the Rashbam. Literally, ranting and raving against the Rashbam, without citing him, of course, by name. But there's some great Gadol, Batorah, who obviously thinks you can give a Chal Shabbos on Friday night. And because he understands Shabbat, so good Shabbat begins on Shabbat morning. It essentially has to do with Vayer Vayboker. That Sukkim that I mentioned, Vayer Vayboker, that means that essentially Vayboker, that the next day begins. And therefore, even though we generally assume Hayom Hodakaka Alayla, that's a principle in Halacha, with the exception of Kochin, that's already Sukkim and Shas and Mishnayis. But the Rashbam understood the Sukkim beginning Bereshis that when does this transition take place between Friday and Shabbos? On Shabbos morning.
That's what Shabbos morning. Morning.
Yeah, but you know, by year, by book, yeah, that till the morning he holds Laila Holech Achayom.
He's 24 hours.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so the Ibn Ezra becomes exceedingly strident with the Rashbam, and the famous Igeres HaShabbos. That's the Igeres HaShabbos, and what you mentioned from Hagoyim of El Shechter is itself. Okay, you'll have to tell me about it one day, but I'm just telling you, the Ibn Ezra has to be, even though he has a number of areas, this is another commentary on Ibn Ezra. If you know the Ibn Ezra well, my father Shlomi is still over with us, Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is, here and there, he has some rather untraditional kind of explanations, but overall, he is a traditionalist par excellence. Par excellence. Always defends Chazal, even though people don't have that sense of the Ibn Ezra. They think the Ibn Ezra is operating in a different kind of vein. Not true. I know the Ibn Ezra well. And the Ibn Ezra is very Masoretic and very orthodox and into, and he doesn't like this lack of orthoprax on the part of the Rashbam, and he felt deviated from the norm. Anyway, I'm just mentioning this there. So over here, the Ibn Ezra, what does he do? The Shav Sahar and Shabbos Hashem, it's clear. The focus is on the karka, and as a result, the goy cannot go ahead, and I can't go take a goy, do work for me. Similar to Shabbos. I can't ask a goy to do malacha for me. I'm here malacha. It's a din d'abona. But here, I'm not permitted to do so. Now, this goes further. There's a Gemara of Lazara, and that's well over here. The Gemara is talking about, can I sell an animal to a goy? Because what's the problem? Of course you can sell an animal to a goy. But said, could I go ahead now and be mashil, an animal to a goy? Sheila, can I make a goy a shoel? He borrows an animal from me. Am I allowed to do that? So what's the problem? He might come to do a lot of the animal on Shabbos. Whose animal it is? It's still yours. You're the violet. He's a shoel. He simply borrowed the animal for use. But you are the owner. There's one thing. When you sell a non-Jew the animal, as the Gemara has a story also, in Shabbos, the animal was accustomed to working for a Jew and not working on Shabbos. Then it was sold to a goy. And now what happened was that the animal refused to work. The animal balked. The animal said, no, I'm not working because he was accustomed to not working on Shabbos. A very kluge animal. And obviously a kosher animal.
Yes, that
you knew the day of the week. That's right. You knew the week. So the owner, the goy who bought the animal from the Jew, so the goy went to the Jew and said, what's going on over here? I purchased the animal for you, and now the animal refused to work on Shabbos. Came the Jew, whispered into the ear of the animal, probably in Yiddish, I imagine. And as a result, the animal began to work. He said, you don't want to belong to me. And now in the Bible of the goy, you have to work on Shabbos. And the animal began to work on Shabbos. The Gemara tells this story. It's a Gemara on Shabbos. Whatever the case is, a similar halacha applies over here regarding She'ela. Namely, a goy borrows an animal. So then, if a goy borrows an animal, it's shaul. It's not the owner. You're not allowed to sell a goy. And this is what we're going to talk about right now. Take a look at the Gemara of Lazar. Someone who sells an animal to a goy. So the Gemara is the Kasha. That, and the Rashi here. Take a look at the Rashi. That why can I sell an animal to a goy? Why can't you sell it to him? Because you might come to not sell it to him, but actually lend it to him. And he's a shoel. He's someone who borrows the animal. And he'll do malacha on Shabbos. That's called the sasika malacha. And the Torah said, not just you, but your animals and asaf sadibris. And the Ten Commandments, it tells you, not only cannot you do malacha, the animal can't do malacha. Ato vincha vitecha ve'emtecha da'ashra ve'emas Yisrael li'umetzuv al shri sasa. It belongs to a Jew. And there's a din of shri sasa ve'emah on Shabbos. There's two separate Yisurim on Shabbos. One is called mechamer. That's the Gemara of the Misha Hechshech. The last part of Shabbos, a person works with an animal on Shabbos. The animal, because with Man Chazal, the animals were the combines, they were the machines. They did all the farm work. So that's called Mechamer Achaveim of Shabbos. And then there's a separate Easter called Shri Sasveim. Well, your animals, the rest on Shabbos. Now you have to rest on Shabbos. The animals to rest on Shabbos as well. So here, that's what Rashi comments. To sell a good, an animal, the Gemara says, will not be permitted because you might come to not sell the animal, but rather lend it to him. He's a shoyel, and he might come to do malach on Shabbos, and that would be a violation of this halach. So a similar thing, the Gemara goes on. The next Gemara, where it says, this not. This is a Mishnah in Shvi'is. Have a cow that's used for Chavisha, so cannot be sold on Shvi'is. Why can it not be sold on Shvi'is? So why can it not be sold a parah? Why can it not be sold on Shvi'is? So I said, this is the subject of Malchut B'Shamah B'Shilah. B'Shamah said you can't sell on the Shmita year parah Horeshes B'Shilah Matirah. Why? Why did the Shammai, why are they machmir? The answer is because there's a din that you're not supposed to do chavisha on Shrias. One of the Isurim on Shrias is plowing. As I mentioned, different types of farm work. The Torah only mentions lo tizra, mentions not to sow, not to seed. However, the Isur not only applies to Zriya, but there are a whole slew of Isurim, a litany of Isurim that are applicable, namely chavisha as well. So now the Shammai contends for that reason you can't sell a cow, you cannot sell a cow that does chavisha during 7th year, we're afraid the person might come to do chavisha. But Basil says, no, it's permissible. Why? Sheyachol shofta. Who says he's going to use it for chavisha? They didn't use it. He'll shaft it, and he'll use it to eat the meat of the parah. So you don't know necessarily with any kind of adobes, any kind of servitude, that that was going to happen. Ask the Gemara, on my rabba, me, don't me. Means the Gemara basically came to this maskona based on what? Based on a similar halacha that we just saw with reference to Shabbos. Just like I can't sell a goy, an animal on Shabbos, because you might come to not sell it, but rather lend it in, piece of shoyel, it still belongs to you, and the animal will do malach on Shabbos. So too, the Gemara says, the same thing applies to Shemitah. Yes, the Gemara, me dummy, how do you compare the two? The two are not countable. Hosom, ain't no the mitzvah al shvi'is, v'ed do mishvi'is. There's no din that an animal is to rest on shvi'is. There's no such halacha. When it comes to Shabbos, the person is obligated, as I mentioned a moment ago, as the animal has to rest. So even your animal has to rest on Shabbos. And I just mentioned there are two Isurim when it comes to Shabbos. One is the Isur Mechamer, Memchet Memresh, which is the last paragraph in Shabbos called Mishachshech. Mechamer means that you use a stirrup or use some other kind of reins, whatever it is, to the animal now is being activated to go to work, using the animal as a plow, as a combine. And then the second Isur called Shrisas Behema B'Shamas, that's the story I just told you. So the Gemara is saying here, you can't compare, and the way I always say it, apples and potatoes. These are two totally different areas. There's a din of Shrisas Behema on Shabbos. The animal has to rest on Shabbos. Your animal has to rest on Shabbos. But there's no din of Shrisas Behema when it comes to Shrias. So the Gemara says, therefore, the two issues cannot possibly be compared. And that's what, in effect, the Gemara is saying over here. So what we see, actually, the Gemara thought that maybe there's a basis to go ahead and compare the two. So look in the Gemara continues, only Abayi, the Chalecha, the other Mitzvah Osler, is that true? Wherever a person has the Tzibu, it's also Rabbi Soda, the other Mitzvah Shvisa Sadeh Mishvias, your land is supposed to lie fallow, you're supposed to work the land during the 7th year. So Rashi here has a famous comment on Tezvah Mevez and Avodah Zorah. Says Rashi, Odom Mitzuvah Al Shisa Sadeu Shnash Shabosam Yila Oretz. Isn't that striking how Rashi interprets the Gemara? The Gemara says it goes on the Gavra. Odom Mitzuvah Al Shisa Sadeu. And Rashi relates it to the Karka. Shnash Shabosam Yila Oretz. So in effect, what Rashi is telling us here, that the Pashtus, it applies, as we mentioned, and there seems to be Rayos Lakan Lakan. On the one hand,
sounds like he's saying goes on a test.
Exactly, that's my point. My point is that there are two ways of reading the psukim. Clearly, the Adinam of the Gabra, Lo Sizra, Lo Sizmor, Lo Sitzor, four Yisur Da'aisa. On the other hand, Mishav Salavet, Shabbos Hashem indicates it's going in the Chetzer, there's a Chiyav on the land itself, over and above the Chiyav on the person, as Rabbi Tillis mentioned. Over and above the chiyuv, the person is also chiyuv, as I said, on the karka. So that's shnash shabbos on the other. Now look at the Taisis on the next page. On top of the page, Taisis on the Zara, So he also has a comment on this. I said, the Kach Nira Parish, also, ain't other mitzvah al Shrisa Be'etu B'Shrias. There is no din that an animal has to rest on the seventh year. There's not such a law. Pirush, the Vishenga Isa Tole B'Gubha Ve'ema, El B'Gubha Karka. What is the halakhi requirement? What is the mandate of the seventh year? That the land should lie fallow. The land should not be worked. None of the normal malachas associated with karka should be done on the seventh year. But it's nothing to do with the animal. There's no isa shmita on the animal itself. The animal is not obligated to observe shmita. Who's obligated? We're obligated. The gadra, the individual is obligated to observe shmita. When it comes to Shabbos, not only are we supposed to rest, who else is supposed to rest? The animal is chayav in shvisas behema b'Shabbos. If a guy works with my animal on Shabbos, that's a violation of the isa of shvisas behema. The animal rests on Shabbos, even if I give it to a guy, it is not permissible. The tikkach ein lahatir lebachra mitam pliyah b'shvitas. Even though Basil contended you can't sell it. Because who says it's going to work with the animal? Maybe the non-Jew will use it for the purpose of shita, be used for some other reason. However,
if he sells it,
that's the
previous. No longer the bottle.
So no. You have to look at the previous discussion that we had with Beshama Bisilah, which is essentially the question of selling an animal to a guy, because the Gemara says it's not permissible. Going to Beshamai, because you might lend in the animal. Then it will do malach on Shabbos. That's obviously a gzeira. Going to Beshamai, gzeira. Going to Beshamai. He still disagrees. He agrees with what you said. But the Gemara is saying here, you can't compare Shemitah, the laws of an animal on Shemitah, and laws of an animal on Shabbos. During Shemitah year, an animal is not obligated to go ahead and rest. There's no thing that the animal has to observe Shemitah. On Shabbos, the animal has to observe Shabbos. The animal has to rest on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says, so Tesla is trying to explain the Gemara's kasha. But we saw there, the other mitzvah, she says, so there you, a person is obligated that his field should rest. If another Jew, not going, if another Jew is going to own it, does it eat from our Torah? In Zorba, you saw the Talmud and the Torah. So my point simply is that it seems that it's clear there are two perspectives that one has with reference to the issue of Shemitah, and as you both said, all of you said, one is on the Gavra, one is on the Chetza. Both things seem to be applicable, and there are many, many Nachminas that we're going to be discussing in Mitzvah Hashem related to this matter. You can see, actually, in the language of the Rambam, directly below, at the beginning of Shemitah, the Rambam has always the Golat HaKoteret. He has a title page. Shetishmo Sa'oretz V'Shvi'es Mimlachtam. That refers to what? The ground. That refers to the Chetza. That the ground has to rest in the course of the Shemitah year. So if Amit says, as the Rambam expresses, if it's Sasei Kuvlamet, hey, there he writes, Shetzimonu Mishpais Ne'avedes Ha'aretz. We're not supposed to work the ground. But no, the Rambam seems to, if you will, Ochaz Zachevel B'Shnei Roshi. He grabbed onto the rope from both sides. On the one hand, he tells you there's a mitzvah on the Gavra, namely that we have to rest. We have to cease and desist from working on Shrias. And secondly, the Rambam said there's a halacha that applies to the land itself. So it seems to be both, as I said, related to both the Chetza and to the Gavra. And
does that mean that the Rambam would hold that this Baal of the Sunday can't do other work? Nothing to do with the field. He's a lawyer. It goes back to the office and works.
What's the problem with that?
According to the way I understood it, but Rambam is saying that if it goes both on
the Gavra cannot do work in the land. That's what he can't do. But corporate law, he can do it. There's no problem with doing corporate law. That's not an issue. The same, but the Rambam presents both perspectives. And the truth is that if you look at our cooks, that's out in Sefer Shabbat Haaretz, which is absolutely a classic Sefer. That's kedai to learn, but you would have to take off a few years from whatever you're doing. And that's what is kedai. If you have to decide, that's what you should do. Anyway, so there he brings actually both of these possibilities. He presents both situations. And the question, of course, that have to be there between whether it's on the Gavra or the Chetza, is it going? Can I have a guy do work for me on Shemitah? Can he work the field for me in the course of the Shemitah year? So as you may or may not know, but we'll be discussing it at great length. This is also a discussion in all the Poskim and the Chazanish and Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, the Tzadik and the Bracha. This is a famous, famous issue. Can a guy work the land? So essentially, they're actually looking between whether we're talking about Yisurim Daraisa, Yisurim Rabbanan, in terms of whether a guy can be involved. Here they have people from Thailand, or other kinds of individuals who are doing malachas, but they cannot, again, certainly a Jew cannot do malachas Daraisa under any circumstances, and as we'll see regarding the question of a non-Jew, whether what exactly he's allowed to do, and that I'll be discussing Yis Hashem in the next series of Shiurim. The next one will not be until Sunday night. Sunday night, Monday night is Rosh Hashanah. And Sunday night, perhaps I will either continue on Shemitah, maybe I'll say one Shiurim Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps that would be more appropriate than discussing Shemitah, even though Rosh Hashanah begins Shemitah. So we'll see what is to be done.
Join them together. Thank you.
That's
it.
I stop at 9 o'clock.